For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. The little children's song, "Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." It's a powerful song. One we all probably need to regularly sing to remind us of certainly how powerful our speech is. Today I want to talk to you about gossip. Now, that might hurt some of our feelings. That might just step on our toes a bit. But we want to talk a little bit about it because I really believe there's a lot of confusion among brethren about what gossip really is. As we just read in James 3 and verse 2, we all stumble in what we say. We say things we shouldn't. Well, we even fail to say things we should. Nobody's perfect in regards to their speech. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had this to say about our speech, and it is significant. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 35, "The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasures brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." So from that passage, Jesus made it very, very clear that we're going to be judged by what we say. And maybe sometimes we're more concerned about what we do than what we say. But Jesus makes it clear that what you say is very, very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12, there is hope for us in regards to our language. The Apostle Paul said in verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Maybe we think we've got our tongue tamed. Maybe we feel like we're in control, but we must be very careful because we can easily be tempted to say things that we shouldn't. But in verse 13 he says, "No temptation is overtaking you but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." So the great hope that we have here is that we can do better. God doesn't allow us to be tempted, and I think that's just as true with our speech, to say things that we didn't mean to say or that we didn't want to say. We can control what we say. So let's talk a little bit more about that. The idea of gossip. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 20, we find a couple of words used that we ought to think about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. We'll read that verse together. "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances." A couple of words I want us to pay attention to here just for a moment. The first word is the word slanders. And that just is a word that simply means to speak against. But the essence of the word has to do, it's something you do outwardly, openly. So someone that slanders is saying something about someone that demeans someone, puts someone down. It's ugly, it's unkind, it's meant to ruin, to hurt, to defame, and it's open. The other word that is used there, the word gossip, equally means to speak against. But it has to do with secretly. Now, I think most of us understand that definition. To speak against. You haven't slandered or you haven't gossiped if you don't like the University of Alabama football. Or if you don't like Auburn football. And I hope and pray, UK football. It's not just that you don't like something, but you speak against it in the sense of to belittle, to put down, to shame, to discredit. Now, when you stop to think about that, we have probably slandered a lot of things. One example that I can think of right at the very get-go is leadership of our country. There's a lot of slander by Christians. And there's a lot of gossip. Speaking against. Now we'll talk more about it in a moment, but can you be against something? Can you speak that, you know, you disagree with something? Oh, absolutely. But slander is something that is sinful. We need to know the difference. So, maybe some of us, in our thought process, we tend to justify what we're doing. Well, it has been commonly expressed, if you can't say something good, then say nothing at all. Not long ago, our governor of the great state of Alabama made a commercial in regards to the leadership of this country and basically followed that rule in that particular commercial. Kind of was controversial. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29... I want you to notice some basic principles of Scripture. And we should be familiar with this. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, the text says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth." Now that covers a broad stroke. "But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment." The need of the moment. Many of us have the great ability to say exactly what does not need to be said at exactly the wrong time. Many of us have that ability. But this passage talks about that you should be cognizant of the moment, what you should say, what you should not say. But then it says that it may give grace to those who hear. Grace. Favor is the definition of grace. Contextually, we learn in Scripture that it is used in the sense of unmerited. In verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." I would just like to say this. I don't use the pulpit as a bully pulpit for political kinds of things. It really doesn't matter to me what you are politically. But as a Christian, when you get on social media and you speak of leadership, whoever they may be, from mayor to president, in an unkind, ugly way, that is sinful. That doesn't mean you have to like what they're doing. Doesn't mean you can't point out wrongs or maybe things that are mistakes. But you've got to be very, very careful because of the standard that God has given Christians in how to speak about people that you even disagree with or even your enemies. We've got to learn that. In Colossians 4 and verse 6, Paul says this: let your speech always be with grace, with favor, seasoned as it were with salt, that it's palatable. It can be received. Maybe it's strong. Maybe it's correction. Maybe it's rebuke. Maybe it's reproving. But it's with salt that it can be received and used in a good way, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. It takes careful thought on how you respond to folks. People are different. People think differently. I can mean something as a compliment and it can be insulting to some. I can mean to encourage and it discourages. I have to be cognizant of that. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, another principle or standard of speech, Paul says, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So if you know you're going to say something that's going to be, you know, hurtful, unkind, going to make somebody mad. Again, there is a time when truth has to be spoken, and truth, when it is spoken, can cut to the heart, can make someone mad. We're not talking about necessarily telling the truth, although there's some caveat to that. We're talking about that we, as Christians, we try to say the things that's going to make peace, not burn bridges. So, people talk. Some people love to talk. But some folks like to justify it. They justify their slander, they justify their gossip by saying, well, it's true. Well, just because it's true may not mean that it's okay to say it. Someone says, well, if they were right here, I'd tell them to their face. Well, you probably should not be saying things about people and then say, well, if they were here, I would say it to their face. Maybe you should just reserve saying it then to their face. But then that does not give us the right just to explode. So when is it gossip? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Gossip is gossip regardless of what you tell is true or false. Many have defined gossip, well, if you're saying something about someone and it's true, then it's not gossip. That's not true. If you're telling something about someone and it's false, well, that also makes you a liar. When you're slandering or gossiping. So, when is it gossip? The very concept of the word gossip has to do with to speak against. That is, some uncomplimentary remark. I'm going to suggest to you the key has to do with intent. Have you ever heard someone say, well, it wasn't what you said, it's how you said it. Sometimes we may be so bold as to say, well, I know what you said, but I know what you were thinking too when you said that. Does thought have intent? Sometimes that's obvious. When you say something, everyone knows what you intended to say. Sometimes you say something and someone says, beg your pardon? What did you mean by that? Because it could be taken bad. It could be taken good. It depends on the intent. So the intent is, are you intending to hurt or to help? That's the intent that is important. Info that helps. For instance, if some brother has done something wrong, we may talk about that and mention that and even say what was done, but the intent is not to hurt that person or to defame that person or to speak against that person or to make that person look really bad because of what they did. But our intent is simply to inform. Maybe our intent is that we mention all of that because we intend whoever we're telling that to, them to help this person. I don't know if we've ever really stopped to examine and think about gossip in that way. But biblically, that is true. It has to do with what you're saying and the intent or the purpose of the information. Exposing error is not gossip. Exposing a false teacher is not gossip. If I'm exposing either to do everything I can to destroy that person and to tear down that person, there's an intent wherein that is only in God's authority. I can inform you about error. I can inform you about someone that is teaching error. But it is not my job in any way to slander that person or revenge that person. Now you're sitting there thinking, man, I've gossiped a whole lot more than I thought I did. I've slandered a lot more than I thought I did. That's the point of the lesson. To help us. To help encourage us. You know, it's easy to gossip. It is. It's easy to tell things that we shouldn't. In the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 21, you may recall there that Paul, he visited a place, and this place had a reputation. Now, all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. You know, really, some people just really do enjoy hearing a good old gossip. something new. And some love to just be able to, as soon as we can, find somebody to tell something about someone that just really rips and tears that person apart. And we just love telling it. You ever done that? Me too. Well, sometimes we tell things like that because it makes us look good. Do you know preachers do that? I've moved into a local area to begin work with a new church. And the former preacher left under bad circumstances. And it's easy for you to get on the bandwagon and start saying, yeah, old brother so-and-so, when he's here, man, he used to do this, he used to do that. You know, he don't even need to be preaching. And it's just negative, put down, tear down, slander, speak against. And that is so corrosive. And that is so infectious. And it spreads like wildfire. And we can kind of get into that dispositional mood of just being ugly and unkind. It's easy to do. See, that's the heading. It's easy to gossip. And when we do that, we make ourselves look better or make ourselves look good. Like, well, I would never, ever do what he did. He must be a really bad person to have ever said anything like that, taught anything like that. But my guess is it is not confined to preachers. Some gossip to get revenge. An employer-employee relationship ends badly. Now I'm going to do all I can to destroy either the employer or the employee. That is not Christ-like under any circumstance. Even if it was bad. Preacher leaving a church. An elder stepping down. Members getting upset and leaving. Man, we can just chew on that fat till the cows come home. Can't wait to just tell everybody what the truth is on that situation. And when we tell the truth, and it very well may be the truth, but we tell it not to help, not to encourage, not to encourage others to help the situation, but we're just ripping and tearing and destroying. That's slander. It's also called sinful. There's just no love there. Did you remember Joseph? When he found out that Mary was with child. Do you remember what specifically the Holy Spirit said he was going to do? Put her away privately. He was not going to do anything to slander her. Wonder why that was. Wonder why he made that choice. I think because he loved her. When you love somebody, you just don't treat them that way. And there are a lot of brethren that just don't love the brethren. They'll talk bad about a church. They'll talk bad about a preacher. They'll talk bad about elders. They'll talk bad about just whomever they can. And just get out that proverbial slander gun and just pow, pow, pow. And that's wrong.
It's wrong. You can't justify that. You can't justify that. You can just as well justify adultery as you can slander. Can't be justified. Gossip. What does it actually accomplish? What does gossip actually accomplish? Well, it spreads hurtful lies is what it does. Generally, gossip is the spreading of hurtful lies. Generally. And I think that's one of the key deceptions to most people, is that that is where they divide. Well, gossip and slander involves lies. That's wrong. But if I'm telling the truth, we covered that a moment ago. But we've already seen where that's not true. Look in your Old Testaments, if you will. A few Proverbs might help us. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. I'll tell you what. You find a group of people where there is constant contention, friction, problems, issues. Somebody or somebodies are running their mouth. Slandering and gossiping. Been giving Barney Fife a lot of credit, but we need to nip it. Elders need to step up when that's happening and nip that. Brethren need to step up when that's happening and nip that. It hurts innocent people. Stories get twisted. Some innocent person becomes guilty. Many years ago, I was preaching at Jordan Park in a gospel meeting. And I have no idea what possessed me to do this. Some of you know this story already. I got down out of the pulpit area, down there, we're wandering around. And I started making this point, and I stood up on the front pew and finished the point and then stepped down from the pew. Well, that story got out. A friend of mine, preacher in another state west of here, he was telling that I got up on the Lord's Supper table. About a year later, when I came to Jordan Park, they invited me to come and work with that church. I met with the elders. And one of, I think there were six elders at the time. One of the elders, they all quizzed me. One elder only had one question for me. He said, last year when you were here in a meeting, you stood up on the front pew. He said, do you do that normally? I said, no, brother, I do not do that normally. I said, I really don't know what possessed me to do that. I did that. I'll try my best not to do that again. Well, he said, well, some of the women wanted me to ask you that. Okay. You know how things get spread? How things get told? In Proverbs 17 and verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. I want you to read that one more time with me. He who justifies the wicked. Brother and sister in Christ, when someone sins, you cannot and must not ever say, that's okay. When someone is rebellious, when someone has lied, when somebody's committed adultery, etc., under no circumstances can you ever justify that and say that's okay. But notice, the comparison. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous. When you don't know the story and you don't know the details, and you're going to tell something on someone that is going to make them look really, really bad, that is equally sinful. That's slander. Even if it's true. Intent. It destroys the church. It destroys the body. Discord, division, jealousy, hurt feelings. That causes such a spark and or flame to destroy. Brothers and sisters in Christ can spend years and years and years and years building up a good reputation of the local church. And a few people with loose mouths, loose tongues, can start saying things and destroy in a few moments what has been built up. That too is sinful. Gossip is usually prejudicial. And by that, I simply mean what Proverbs 18 and verse 17 says. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. If you ever had a faithful brother or sister come and tell you something about someone, they just cannot wait to tell you about that. And because they're, quote, a faithful brother or sister, you assume that it's true and you run with it, only to find out they were mistaken. They didn't know all the facts. That has destroyed more brethren and more churches than could be imagined. Because people with loose tongues. Prejudice in that you don't know the facts. You've only heard it from one side. Please don't make a decision and or slander someone based upon one side of the story. It reveals a loveless heart. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 20, John makes it very clear how important it is that we love one another. And he says in verse 20 of 1 John 4, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Do you understand what that's saying? It's simply saying that if we decide to be a gossip and a slanderer, we are displaying an attitude and an action of no love for that Christian. If you can't love them, John says, there ain't no way you can love God. That's what he said. It destroys friendships. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Chapter 17, verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. But let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak. Well, when you woke up this morning and came to church, you probably had no idea I was going to talk about that. I think I had on the sign out there I was going to talk about Elijah. I changed my mind since I put that up there. Forgot to change the sign. But this is a lesson that we put in the category of teaching. But it might be a lesson to some that is a rebuke. I would hope that all of us would take it seriously and think about it. How we talk and how we speak to others. How you get on social media and how you talk and speak of others. You know, the world is just trying its best to tear the church, to tear down individual Christians. We don't need that from each other. We need to do all that we can to talk up the church. Talk up brethren. Because that is Godlike. You've listened patiently this morning. I appreciate that very, very much. Hope you'll think seriously about what we've talked about. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, we'd love to encourage you to become a Christian today, to be baptized and have your sins washed away. And if you're a Christian, you've not lived as you ought, then I hope and pray that you'll be motivated to repent, to confess that sin as a child of God, and through the blood of Christ be forgiven. If you need us to pray with you and pray for you, we're happy to do that. If you're serving the Lord, doing the best you can, then don't quit. Keep going. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?